my fellow Americans, nearly 4 years ago, in winter, on the steps of the Capitol, on a cold January day, I raised my right hand and I swore an oath to you and to God to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. In front of me was the city surrounded by the National Guard. Behind me, a Capitol just 2 weeks before had been overrun by a violent mob. What I knew then, from the bottom of my heart, that I knew now, there is no place in America for political violence. None. You cannot say you love your country only when you win.
Okay, so that's the President of the United States, in case you've forgotten him, Joe Biden, speaking at the convention in Chicago. Interesting. There were violent mobs on that day, and he's condemning it. Violence under no circumstance. And on the other side of his mouth, earlier in the talk, he was talking about a shout out to the protesters, the 100,000 coming into Chicago to support Hamas, which attacked Israel, killed 13, brutally assaulted, burned alive, babies raped, horrible day. That violence, he can't bring himself to condemn. But oh my goodness, the things that J6ers did on January the 6th, allegedly did, most of them didn't do anything like what they were accused of. And we're going to talk about that today because it's been 3.5 years and there's so much to say about what's happening, because still the Justice Department is busy knocking on people's doors and people are still busy looking social media, trying to find anybody else that might have been on that Capitol, because they must be punished. It is really one of the most revolting ways the Justice Department has been used in my lifetime and probably ever in this country. We're going to talk about that today. But first, you can call us at 662-821-2040. I'm sure you have a lot of things to say, or maybe you just don't even know what to say right now. But if you have something to say or share with us or a question, call 662-821-2040. If you're a new listener, that is recorded. They'll give you the prompts, and then we use these, as many as we can, on the air, you know, for some of our shows. So we do listen to them, and we do care what you think. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can go to any social media platform, but honestly, I'm kind of shaking loose. I believe that Twitter is the most important one right now, because you can't find the truth on so many of the others. And if you want to know how to sign up for Twitter, just go to X. It's really simple. You create a handle for yourself. It's at whatever you want to say, at the at sign. Then you sign up to listen or to follow people that you think are on the cutting edge. It's not good for chatting. It's not like Facebook. This is news. This is information. And that's why I think you need to sign up, because there's no filter except for, you know, threats of violence or death or things like that on Twitter. But the truth really gets out, and it's a good place for you to find out what's really happening. So I just suggest that to you. Also, you can find the podcast, you know, on any podcast platform. You can go to AFR.net, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. That's our base. Or you can go to Spotify or whatever your favorite platform is. Maybe Apple. That's where I go a lot for some podcasts. And you can go to my website, which is sandyrios.com, and also find the podcast. Our voices are crucial in the struggle against globalism and the fight for life, faith, family, and freedom. We're fighting the Prince of Darkness as he seeks to destroy our children and our very souls. And make no mistake, the attack starts at conception. Preborn's network of clinics continues to shine bright in the darkest corners of our country, where abortions take place thousands of times a day. If we can defend the defenseless and then share God's love and compassion with them, we will see the transformation of generations to come. One heartbeat at a time, and one heart at a time, is how Preborn introduces mothers to their precious preborn babies. The ultrasound is the weapon, and the heart is the game changer. This combination leads to preborn saving over 280,000 babies to date. Your donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound and is critical to the battle for life. So if you'd like to help, so many of you have, and so many of you have been so good about it, let's keep fighting, especially now as we see how the Democrats want an abortion for all 9 months. It's becoming very just disgusting. I don't know what else, repulsive, heart-wrenching, the stand they're taking on abortion. So it's time to counter that with something really positive that actually saves these babies' lives. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, Iris, just sit back. This is a day when you're going to wish you had a pencil and paper because we have so many things to tell you. It's not going to be a downer. It will be inspiring, and I hope it inspires you to take action on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Known as the January 6th Praying Grandma, Rebecca Lavrens will spend 6 months in home confinement for her participation in the Capitol riot, a judge ruled this week. Lavrens was also ordered to pay a more than $100,000 fine for three felonies she was convicted of earlier this year related to the riot. She has said she went to the Capitol that day to pray.
I did pray about it. It didn't take very long for me to decide that I needed to go there to pray for our country.
But prosecutors said Lavrens had darker intentions, and they said she undermined faith in the justice system by speaking out about the January 6th cases. She also raised money off her case through crowdfunding. The judge ruled that Lavrens cannot access the internet for 6 months, which her attorney said was unfair. Prosecutors had sought 10 months in prison for the so-called praying grandma, but the Colorado woman managed to avoid jail time. She is among the more than 1,400 defendants charged in connection to the riot 3 years ago, and the Biden Justice Department says its work isn't finished. Sarah Bedford for the Washington Examiner.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Yes, so Rebecca Lavrens, I think she's 71. She's a great-grandmother. She went into the Capitol for 10 minutes. And guess how they caught her? Well, they had people, they had this whole crew of citizens who were not paid, but voluntarily combed through Facebook, social media, to find friends, neighbors, anyone that the Justice Department might have missed who happened to be there on January the 6th, and Rebecca was one of them. As you heard that report, she said she went in to pray, and now she's being punished because she criticized, I kid you not, Bruce and I read the words of this, because she criticized the Justice Department and because she raised funds on GoFundMe. And by the way, she has a lot of bills, and she's fined $100,000. She's a bed and breakfast owner from Colorado. She's not complaining. And yet, this is the way it is. It's 4.5 years after January the 6th, and the Justice Department is arresting people like Rebecca Lavrens when we've got criminals, illegal immigrants, murder in the streets in many of these big cities. This is what the Justice Department is doing. So it's time for us to talk about J6, because some of these guys are actually still in prison. And in one case for sure that I know, still pre-trial detention for 4.5 years. So I've asked Tim Rivers, one of my favorites, because Tim is all in to help these guys and some women. Oh, before I introduce Tim, let me just tell you, I made a mistake. It's 3.5 years these guys have been, in some cases, incarcerated. It's unbelievable. Well, Tim Rivers, again, is a former IBM executive, and he is deep in the weeds of helping these guys in every way that he can. One of my favorites on this topic of J6, because he loves these people like I, only he demonstrates it much more by much greater sacrifice than I do. Tim Rivers, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Sandy. It's always great to be on your show.
All right, so you said that you actually told me off the air that you interviewed the praying grandmother just recently, Rebecca Lawrence. Did I miss something? Tell us more about that situation, if you can.
Yeah, well, you know, for almost a year and a half now, I've been on both with Lindell TV and now with Worldview Tube doing a show called Freedom Friday every Friday. So it's a one-hour show, very much like yours, but it's a video broadcast show. And I bring on J6ers, activists, people like David Sumrall, Prentice Evans, or, you know, mostly J6ers who are in prison, used to be our favorite thing. But now I'm interviewing people who are either going in or coming out. And you get to see both sides of that. And with Rebecca, it was, you know, she was facing sentencing that was coming up. And now I believe, and of course they wanted to silence her now, but I believe she'll have a different story to tell you about all of this when they come out. There's a kind of famous phrase from, I think it was the 30s or 40s. It says, when the prison bars are open, the real dragons will fly out. And it's a reference to, you know, what happens when you incarcerate people for unjust cause. And it doesn't seem to break them. In many cases, it hardens them. It reforges them into something closer to diamond. I always say, you know, the government's been trying to grind these people into dust like a block of coal. And all they've succeeded in doing is creating diamonds. And these diamonds, not only are they unbreakable, but they cut. And now these people are coming out, and, you know, I thought it was, I thought Rebecca's case was very unique. She's not the oldest. I have to say that. I believe she's now 72. She's not the oldest J6er. That would follow Lonnie Kaufman. But she is one of the people who did nothing that day and who refused, like so many who are incarcerated for long times, refused to take a knee. And even exercised her First Amendment right to criticize both the government and the justice system for what they were doing to January 6ers and to her, a God-loving, God-fearing, abiding citizen. And for that, the judge went into a rant. And he's not alone. I've heard this rant over and over again. I could name you a half dozen judges, you know, Trump's judge, you know. She's one of the ones that are the worst. They can't deal with people refusing to admit their sins, to say that this was wrong. When people feel that they were in the right and they speak their mind, the justice system wants to hammer them harder than ever so that they can break that type of resistance in we the people. And God love all these men and women who refuse to take the knee.
You know, Tim, my husband is a former FBI agent, a former prosecutor for Cook County, Chicago. And I was asking him about this whole theme of when a criminal comes before a court, I've never ever seen the court demand that they confess. The court in their sentencing has more mercy if there's remorse. But I don't think that's not part of the requirement. I've never heard of that in America where you must recant. You can be a hardened criminal, and they'll just, you know, if you're a killer, you can be put to death, but you don't have to say you're sorry or recant. It's just amazing to me. This is a step beyond. And one of the things about they mentioned that they did to Rebecca was she can't use the internet for a year, something like that. And they're doing this to a lot of them. Like I think Daniel Goodwin, same thing. He can't access the internet. That is really unthinkable. That's a punishment I've never heard of.
It's a bridge too far. I mean, first of all, let's face it, it's completely unconstitutional. One of the things that is a common theme over and over again in the J6 prosecutions and in President Trump's prosecutions and in Steve Bannon and in Peter Navarro, and the list is long, Michael Flynn, every single one of these individuals has had justice turned into a political knife. And I believe that's what's broken. And, you know, people cannot, if you're silent, you're consenting. And these people will not be silent. They weren't silent on January 6th. They're not going to be silent now. You can throw them in prison. But when they come out, they have stories to tell. And that's one of our, you know, that was the whole purpose of the book, Sandy, both of the books, really, is to continue to tell these people's stories in their own words, in their own hand. I'm holding book three for release until after February, because I want to see what happens in January when the J6 Pardon Project lands on President Trump's desk on January 21st. And then I'll write the end.
Well, we need to tell people what you're talking about. Many, many months ago, more than, I don't know how, a year, I don't know, 2 years.
Two years.
2 years. But when I first met Tim, they put together this book called The American Gulag Chronicles, which I have looking at me. And then they did a second event, a second book, The Gulag Chronicles. Help me with, what's the second one called?
The Art of Confinement.
The Art of Confinement. They are incredible. The telling, first of all, of the stories of the guys that, many of the guys, not all of them, that got sent to jail and prison. And then the second one is The Art of Confinement, what it was like for them to be inside. And these are gripping books. And by the way, before we go a step further, how could people get a hold of these, Tim?
Yeah, you can get them at lettersfromprison.us. You can actually get the books. They're beautiful coffee table books in a 8.5 by 11 format, so they're long format, and they're the artwork and everything, both from the prisoners and from the mothers and families of J6ers that's in these books, is just astounding. And it's right beside the actual, you'll see images of the letters, you'll actually read clean transcriptions of them, because it's hard sometimes with the handwriting. And these people will tell you the story, and the books are laid out in as a chronicle of time. It started in late 2021, and it takes, the first book takes you into 22. The second book takes you into 23, when these people are now scattered in prisons all across America. And the third book, I hope to God, begins to tell the story of people like Rebecca, who now are through that fire, who could begin to speak once they come out of that confinement, once they get out of their halfway house, once the BOP turns them loose. They have stories to tell. And that's really our job. And it's one of the reasons, it's always been the reason for American Gulag Chronicles and J6 Patriot News. Always. Message, message, message.
And let me just say that Tim put this together, and Marie Goodwin, who's been a longtime listener of mine before any of this ever started, for years. Marie's listened to my morning show. She had a son, Daniel, who went to jail, or he had home confinement, and cost the family so many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now they're on terrorist watch lists. It's been a nightmare. But she's an artist, and she provided the artwork. This is not a publisher's book. This is non-published, and yet it looks like it is. It's beautiful. And they're doing this, 100% of this goes reprinting, I'm sure, some of it, but to the guys and to help whatever cause they can help for the prisoners. So, and for the victims, the J6 victims. It's lettersfromprison.us. That's where you go to get that.
And all of those books are now on Kindle as well. If you have Amazon, you can find both of the books on Kindle. They're really important books, not only because they're historical, but because when you buy one of them, you're preserving a piece of history that I think the government would like to see burned or tossed in the garbage heap.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe the next generation will read these books and read about what has happened during this period of time, and maybe they'll... I hope it'll be on the coffee table as a reminder, but maybe it'll be under the mattress. It's up to us in November.
Exactly. That's well put. Absolutely. Well, I'm expecting my doorbell to ring any day now, Tim. You probably are too. So we'll just see what happens. I just pray for the same kind of courage that we've seen from these guys. They've inspired me so much. And that reminds me of there's so much to talk about, but I'm going to play something for you. I don't know if you've heard of Glenn Kirshner. Glenn is a former prosecutor. He does a podcast, and he was talking about the J6ers. I want to play this clip and just get your response if I could. This would be clip four.
Dempsey's 20-year term reminds those who are committed to the rule of law of three important things. First, the intensity and scope of the Justice Department's commitment to prosecuting those who invaded the Capitol have been breathtaking. Amidst the focus on the delays in bringing former President Donald Trump to justice, it's easy to overlook that 1,400 people who participated in the Capitol riot have been charged. More than 900 have been convicted, most by guilty plea. Second, Friday's sentence is a reminder of the horror of January 6. David Dempsey launched flagpoles, bear spray, riot shields, and any other object he could find at police, beating and almost killing at least one. According to the Washington Post, as fellow rioter Kyle Fitzsimmons of Maine yanked at the gas mask of Sergeant Fusen Nguyen, Dempsey fired some spray into the police officer's face before Fitzsimmons snapped the mask shut, trapping the chemicals inside. Quote, "I thought that's, you know, where I'm going to die," Officer Nguyen testified. Finally, and most importantly, Friday's sentencing reinforces what's at stake in the coming election. Republicans used to be the party of law and order, but Donald Trump is the furthest thing from it. No one who believes in strong and impartial law enforcement would consider pardoning a man like Dempsey. But Trump has said that if elected, he will consider pardoning or at least commuting the sentences of all those convicted of crimes that day.
All right. So again, that was Glenn Kirshner on his podcast. And Tim, a couple of, at least one particular name is very familiar to me there, and that's Kyle Fitzsimmons, because I've actually read some of Kyle's writings, some of the letters that he has written to a friend of mine who's been writing to him for a long time. It doesn't sound like the Kyle that I read in those letters. And I also know that the lies that have been told in general from my own eyes, watching the videos, we have seen how the lies take place and how they've exaggerated what people have done. I don't know, maybe that's exactly true, that Dempsey, you know, they tried to kill a policeman and that Kyle helped him. I don't know if you know anything about that case, but I would like to know just your thoughts about his Glenn's statements.
I know. Well, you can imagine I know a lot about all these cases. I've been writing about them, following them, and talking to people, for interviewing these individuals. If you listen to what the government says, you get a completely different view. Go to my website at j6patriotnews.com. Go to the interview section. Listen to these people yourself. Why would you go to something? I mean, I'm sorry. Anybody who's still taking their mainstream media shot every day, you need your head examined. You're going to have to do better than that. You cannot be a one-click purveyor of truth, because that's not how you find truth. You remember that, if you know your Bible, folks, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself, approved under God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divining the words of truth. You can't just click once and go, oh, that's it. You have to look. You have to listen. And I tell you, go to the source. Go to the individuals. Talk to them. Listen to them. How about you listen to Kyle Fitzsimon? Here's his letter. So live your life that the fear of death can never enter your heart. Trouble no one about their religion. Respect others in their view and demand that they respect yours. Love your life. Perfect your life. Beautify all things in your life. Seek to make your life long and its purpose in the service of your people. Prepare a noble death song for the day when you go over the great divide. Always give a word or a sign of salute when meeting or passing a friend, even a stranger, when in a lonely place. Show respect to all people, grovel to none. When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the food and for the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies only in yourself. Abuse no one and no thing, for abuse turns the wise ones to fools and robs the spirit of its vision. When it comes your time to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with the fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives again in a different way. Sing your death song, die like a hero going home. That's a quote from Tecumseh, and Kyle closes it with says, in valor, there is hope. That's who they threw in prison. That's who they falsely accused of killing police officers. That nobody died that day except protesters. Nobody was seriously injured. Nobody went to the hospital and had to be put in the emergency room, who was an officer of the law. only those who blinded themselves with their own tear gas. I'm sorry, the narrative has been false. For 2.5 to 3 years, we have been trying to show it to you. Now we are going to pull the curtain back all the way. The 1A Film Festival next month is going to feature 12 independent films, documentaries, starting with the pandemic and taking you through the current, regardless of your opinion, the current status of treason in this country. These are incredible movies made by incredible filmmakers. The film festival is being held in an amazing location in Texas. It's going to be live streamed to the world. Some of these films are $25, $30 to watch them individually. You can watch all of them as well as see them all in post-production for $25. Buy a ticket. Invite all your friends. I don't care how many you jam in the room for $25. This is about message, not money. But these films, I just can't describe them. Just watching the trailers makes me first the hair stand up on my neck, and then I want to cry, and then I want to break things. We're not here to panic you. We're here to prepare you. We're not here to scare you. We're here to give you some motive for what's coming in November.
Okay, let me underscore what you just said, Tim, because what he slid into was something I really want to underscore for all of you. This is a film fest. It's going to be held between September 13th and 15th. It's going to be in Greenville, Texas, at the historic Texan Theater. But here's the thing. They have a limited amount of tickets to attend, but what they are doing is live streaming it. And you can buy, you can purchase a live stream for, it's $25, right, Tim?
Yes, $25. It gives you access to all of the films that are in the live stream that's going to be there. And after the production, all of this, as well as the award ceremony, the interviews with the filmmakers and the J6ers. I've got J6ers. Lieutenant Colonel Harry Brock is there. He's an awarded war veteran that spent his time in prison as a January 6er. It's an amazing set of people that are going to be there. And it's just very limited in space. But we want the world to see the truth. And that's in post-production, you're going to be able to watch the films over and over again and have access to all the other content that's going to be going on during the film festival. There's a red carpet. There's an award ceremony. I mean, it's a pretty amazing event, but it pales as an event besides the content of the films. There's two world premieres here that are going to be exposed. One is The Crucible of Trump. And the other one I'm going to kind of leave in reserve, but I'm telling you, these are some amazing films. I think if you see even just one or two of them, you're going to learn things you never really knew about your government, about the pandemic, about how the media manipulates us every day, about how the government in its current incarceration bent has decided that the way to silence dissent is to throw you in a gulag. You're going to see some amazing stuff here. All the proceeds go to help new authors and filmmakers. So once again, just like Gulag Chronicles, where the money goes out to the families and the J6ers themselves, the proceeds from this festival will be used to help authors and filmmakers get their messages out. The dragons who are coming out of those jails, they are finally going to tell their stories. And we're going to help them do it. And you can be part of that, not only to watch and hear the stories, but to actually be part of the creation of new ones by putting your tickets out here and inviting your friends and even your, I mean, how many of us have buddies at church? How many have church groups? How many have book clubs? How many of us know people? We just never really wanted to red pill them because they're friends, but boy, we wish they knew the truth. Have them over for wings and sodas. This is an event like no other that has ever been done. It's hosted by myself at the American Gulag Chronicles and all of our board of directors, and David Simral and our new company, Unredacted Media, which is all about helping conservatives get their message out. We were tortured trying to get Gulag Chronicles to be published and ended up publishing it ourselves because nobody would talk and tell the truth in an environment where they felt the government would punish them for it. You have to be brave and fearless to do this type of reporting like you do, Sandy, and like these men and women have done by writing and telling truth from their jail cells where they can still be punished. And so it falls to us to be their loudspeaker, to be their voice, to let America know what's going on, and then to demand that America get involved. And I think these movies will do that. I really do. All you have to do is expose somebody to this truth and let it take root. And then hopefully as we come to November, there will be a meaning of purpose again. I went to vote this morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. Should have been so busy. My wife and I and two other people were the only ones in the precinct. There were more precinct workers than there were voters. What is happening to America? I hope that these civil war energize you to do something in November. Otherwise, we are in for a very, very long decline.
Yeah. All right. Let me distill this a little bit, Tim. The point is that this is a film weekend. It's just an extravaganza. And you can go. There are some seats available. And this is a fundraiser, though, so those seats are more expensive. But you can do it and be part of the whole thing. It's $500 per individual and $750 for a couple and $1,000 for a sponsorship package. But here's the thing. If you want to do that, I believe this is right, go to unredacted.1aff@gmail.com. Is that correct, Tim, to purchase an open seat?
You can send an email there, or you can go to 1afilmfest.com, and there's a link at the bottom to do it as well.
I think that's easier. So I'm going to say 1afilmfest.com and look for the link. Now, that's to get a seat there to go and be part of the whole thing. 1A, and that's First Amendment, by the way, 1afilmfest.com and look for the link. But if you would like to watch this from your home, or maybe have your neighbors over, have your small group, show it at your church, you can do that by going to 1afilmfest.com. And there's a promo code. It's capital F-A-F-O, F-A-F-O. It's $25 for, is it 2 days? Is it 2 days, Tim?
It's 2 days of film streaming, but there are actually 3 days of production and films available in post-production. We just couldn't get that much streaming out. So you'll have, okay, I think, almost 10 or 11 hours of streaming on Saturday and on Sunday.
Okay.
And then all of that, plus all the films on Friday, will be in available post-production at the website.
Okay. So just remember, this is your way of helping. I'm always saying to listeners, say something, do something. And this is something you could actually do. Plus, it will be very rewarding. I'm just telling you, this will be very rewarding. And Tim has already mentioned some of the movies. It's 12, I think you said. So Mickey Willis did that Plandemic series, and she's got another one, Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. And then
that's what we're planning. Yeah.
Professor David Clements has got a documentary called Let My People Go. And now this really piqued my interest, Tim, because I watch what's happening in the world as much as I can. And what's happening in Britain right now is astounding. I haven't even had a chance to do a show on it. They're arresting people for ridiculous things. They're losing their rights left and right. They're losing their country faster than we are. So this is a United Kingdom filmmaker, Mark Sutherland, Between Lambs and Lions and Iris Echo. Anyway.
And Mark is actually the vice president of the American Gulag Chronicles and a very, very important filmmaker in the UK. He's I actually interviewed him the other day, and we started talking about the similarities of what's happening in the UK with immigration and the change and this radical change in their parliament that just took place that has everybody like gasping for air.
Yes.
It's just amazing. And he's, again, all of these filmmakers are going to be in private interview as well. So in the post production content, you're going to get to hear these personal interviews as they talk about their films and why they made them and what the purpose of them is. There are going to be some pretty amazing people here. I'm just going to, we don't give you the little statue, but I think the awards are lecterns from the lectern guy who actually was carrying the House lectern around with him to the Capitol. And one of the things that we're doing is recognizing these filmmakers for their bravery and not only, stepping right out there and revealing things that certainly nobody would ever want to be revealed, but for refusing to be silent, for using their films as a sounding board to get the message further and further about what's happening and why people need to awaken. And so these interviews are going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to doing them. If you've ever seen you know, the Oscars or anything. We've got a red carpet in ceremony where all the filmmakers and their wives and folks are coming down and will be met and photographed. I mean, it's really going to look like a gala event, but underneath it, it's going to be this armor coating. I don't know how we say it. The armor of God is going to shine through a little bit. We're going to show you the sword of justice. We're going to show you the shield of righteousness. We're going to show you the shoes of swiftness. And I think these are very important things for America to see, especially at this time. We're in a spiritual battle for survival, whether you believe it's as Christians or as godly people, or whether it's as a nation, we are at the brink. And now is the time to pull back. Now is the time for people who have been waiting for that moment to step into the gap, to begin to do, as Steve Bannon says, next man up, please. It's time. It's time for us to rise and be who we believe we are, not just who we say we are.
I think so too, Tim. And I was just saying on a different show this week, it's time to not be afraid. Fear is what holds us back, and fear is what makes us hesitant. Fear is what keeps us in prison. And when you stop being fearful, that's when God can really use you. And as I said, I'll repeat, I said this earlier, I've met with Chinese dissidents and some that have been in prison and labor camps, and they did tell me when they stopped being afraid, they finally felt free. And so I'm just saying to all of you, it's time to be fearless, and for two reasons. Not only because I think God would tell us, you know, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. But secondly, because it's the right thing to do, and this is how we can actually get something done, and we might actually win. We might actually win this battle if we really lose our fear and get started and busy. Before we go, Tim, just pick out one story of a J6er. You know so many, this is hard, I recognize that, but one story to leave people with of someone you want them to know about.
I would want you to know about the man whose letter brought me into this fight. His name is Jeff McKellop. Jeff McKellop is a 22-year Green Beret veteran with 3 Bronze Stars for valor. He has fought on 5 continents and served his country, and then for 10 years after leaving as the Green Beret. And by the way, he was a Ranger first and then filled his duty. 9/11 came along. He reenlisted, became a Green Beret, and then did some amazing things that we can't even talk about. But you'll get to read in his bio that's coming soon. One of those books from these dragons, who is still in prison. Now, 3 years, 4.5 months without trial. Without trial. He sits in Dallas-Fort Worth. He'll be less than 100 miles from where I'm holding this film festival. The BOP will not let me in to see him. He's an amazing man, a Christian. He has 2 beautiful children. As I've already told you, he served his country honorably, never been arrested before January 6th, never had an incident with the police. He has lost everything, his home, his life, his clearances, his jobs, his access to his children, his everything. He will come out homeless and broken. But he is not broken in spirit. I mean, he may be broken as a citizen. He may not have his rights. He may have been denied his Second Amendment and his right to vote and all the things that the government want to take away from somebody who served so honorably. But he will not give up. His spirit will not let him take a knee, and that's why he sits in a prison right now 3.5 years, because as a decorated veteran, actually a war hero. There's no other word for him. He's a war hero. He's a wonderful man. He continues to hold his honor and his country before his government. And I think when he comes out, it will be one of the most joyous moments that I have had since March of 2021. And that's my story.
Oh, I think that's a good one to end on, Tim. And you've given people a picture, a glimpse of why you're so impassioned and why I am too. Why I am too. So, all right, it's the 1A Film Festival. 1A meaning First Amendment. And it's going to be held September 13th through the 15th in Texas. But you don't have to go. You can live stream it. If you'd like to live stream it, go to 1AFilmFest.com and check the link. 1AFilmFest.com. and check the link. If you want to actually go, you go to to go to 1afilmfest.com and check that link too.
Yeah, bottom there's a link there you can click if you'd like to come. There are still some seats available. They're very limited. There's two formal dinners that are being held here. Again, this is like a gala red carpet affair. There's also lunches catered in on Saturday and breakfast with a worship ceremony on Sunday morning. Of course, we'll be singing for freedom with the prisoners at 8 o'clock Central Time on Saturday and Friday nights. It's just going to be an amazing event. So I hope everybody, even if you can't come, and we know many of you will not, but do participate. Somebody asked me how to donate. I said, we don't want donations. Buy five tickets, give four away. Let's just make sure everybody gets to see these films so that when they walk into that voting booth on November 6th, they know the truth.
I love it, Tim. It's great. It's great. It's great. Tim Rivers, thank you so much. God bless you. And maybe I will see you soon. I sure would like to be there. I'm going to try, but I'll let you know soon.
Thank you, Sandy. God bless y'all.
Thank you. Same to you. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, we've seen and heard some horrendous cheering and cheerleading of abortion in the Democratic National Convention by the Democrats. One woman was actually boasting about she said she was paid to have an abortion on stage live. I don't know if that came to pass, but I actually saw that, bragging about it, boasting. This is where we are. It's like we've gone back into the heathen, pagan world that we have often read about. We read in the Old Testament, but we certainly read in history, where we have no regard for life. And so because of that, I think girls really need a different way. They need to be persuaded. And the best persuasion of all, given that they're in this culture where they hear all of this stuff and are persuaded that it doesn't matter if they take the life of their baby, it's seeing that baby inside of them that makes the difference. And that's what preborn does, shows these girls that life within them. And God help them if that doesn't move them. But most of them, it does. It does. And so that's why preborn is so important. If you would like to help us save babies with preborn, through preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Hey all, Glenn Kirshner here. So friends, Donald Trump has said that if elected, he will pardon the January 6th defendants. So let's have a look at just who it is Donald Trump is throwing his lot in with. This is an article in The Hill that was authored by former federal prosecutor Dennis Aftergut. Headline, a January 6th rioter was just sentenced to 20 years. If Trump wins, he could go free. And that article begins, Judge Royce Lamberth of the D.C. Federal District Court sentenced David Dempsey, a violent January 6 siege participant, to 20 years in prison on Friday. That is the second longest January 6 prison term imposed to date, just behind the 22-year sentence handed down to Enrique Tarrio, the head of the extremist Proud Boys, who spearheaded the Capitol siege.
All right, Glenn Kirshner, that's his voice. You say, well, who was that? He used to be with the Justice Department. He worked when Barack Obama was president and a little past that, too. So that's who that is. And I've asked Bruce to join me because Bruce, of course, is a former FBI agent, a former prosecutor for Cook County in Chicago. Sweetheart, Enrico Tarrio, we first listened to that clip you said, rightfully, he never got off the plane. They arrested him before he got off the plane.
Yes, the disparity here is unbelievable. Let's start with Enrico Tarrio, who has been tarred and feathered just because he's part of the Proud Boys. You have to remember that this whole January 6th prosecution would be putting it mildly. It's a persecution. This is not about justice. This is about silencing opposition. The justice system, as I've said before, is not to prosecute people as a group. It's to prosecute people individually for what they have done individually. And to use the words of the person who's run this prosecution, U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, immediately after January 6th, they were locking people up and making dynamic arrests early in the morning. And he himself said, this is to show shock and awe to anyone that might be thinking of coming back to the Capitol later in January when the inauguration was going to happen after January 6th. This is not the purpose of the justice system.
Hang on just a second, Bruce, because I have an update on Matthew Graves from Julie Kelly. Let me just read this for a second. Of course, the DOJ dropped, or the courts ruled that the Department of Justice could not use that statute, which was holding up an official proceeding, and could not add 20 years or so sentence to these J-6ers. But so here's the thing. The DOJ is still seeking ways to keep J-6ers convicted under the unlawful use of 1512C2 in jail, even with the charge being tossed, and that the conviction driving excessive prison sentences. On Thursday, the DOJ admitted it would drop the 1512C2 count against, for instance, Thomas Robertson, who was sentenced to 87 months in prison on several counts, including 1512C2. The obstruction count resulted in 7 years added to a sentence. But the DOJ under Matthew Graves is asking Judge Chris Cooper, who was appointed by Obama, to keep Robertson in jail for the full term by adding several new upward departures and enhancements on his other convictions. And one last thing, Bruce, on this. Matthew Graves is arguing that Robertson's role on J6 demands his ongoing incarceration in federal prison for 87 months, despite admitting that he can't use that enhancement. And by the way, Matthew Graves could very well be Kamala Harris's attorney general if she wins. And by the way, Graves' wife, Fatima Ghost Graves, is close with Harris. Her niece serves on the board of Ghost Graves' radical nonprofit in D.C. That's how radical and corrupt these people are.
And, you know, again, you have to remember that this is not justice. This is seeking to send messages to people that there will never be another January 6th. Or, it's people are even misrepresenting what they're saying about Trump regarding the January 6th defendants. They are saying Trump has promised he will either pardon or commute these people. He has not done that. He has said, we will consider pardoning or commuting the sentences of January 6th defendants. Now, just to give you some perspective of when we talk about David Dempsey just getting 20 years, and it's not jail, it's prison, and Enrico Terrio getting 22 years in prison. If you look at the justice system, the average person who commits murder gets 15 years. The average rapist gets 7 years in prison. The average drug trafficker does 17 months.
Wow,
so
Bruce.
I am not saying that, you know, that's the bellwether. Well, since they only get that much, these guys should get that much. But what I'm trying to show you is the disparity of this and how the Justice Department is threatening people to plead guilty. You know, they claim, well, we had 1,400 people arrested and 900 have already pled guilty. Well, let me ask you this. If you were looking at, you walked through the Capitol, and we'll take this Rebecca Lavrence, who was the J6
praying grandma.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the videotape of what she did, quote unquote, what she did. She walked through. There are several frames of video where they've circled this lady and what she did. She walked through and she prayed. Now, if you have done that, and then the government comes at you and says, well, we're thinking about putting you in prison for 20 years. Now, do you want to plead guilty to walking through the Capitol and we'll give you home confinement and take away your internet rights? Or do you want to roll the dice and see if you get 20 years in prison? Well, I'll tell you what, people are going to take the lesser sentence, even if they haven't done anything wrong in their mind. And that's not justice. Justice is about appropriately charging someone, and if they're found guilty, appropriately sentencing them. That is not what is going on.
No, and in so many cases, Bruce, they were forcing them to recant, or they got more higher prison terms. I want to read something else to you. This is from the convention the other night. I started the show by playing Joe Biden's, you know, fond reminiscence of the violence at the Capitol while he praised the Hamas supporters outside because they had reason to be grieving, he said. This is Jamie Raskin. I don't know if you saw him at the convention, Bruce, but I want to read this to you because I think we need to briefly talk about this. Representative Jamie Raskin, by the way, he was on the J6 committee, the House committee, that just did this show, just like a completely fabricated, edited testimony. Everything was scripted. This is the one that Liz Cheney was chairman of. It's just disgusting, a co-chairman of it. It's just amazing what they did. And they said it was bipartisan because Liz Cheney was the other co-chair. But Jamie was right there. Jamie is a consummate, he's smooth. Let's just say he's smooth. So he's a Democrat from Maryland. He told on the stage J.D. Vance, the Republican vice presidential nominee, he said, remember, they tried to kill your predecessor. Remember what the mob chanted as they stormed the Capitol and injured our officers? Hang Mike Pence. Raskin said that during his speech Monday night. Someone should have told Donald Trump that the president's job under Article 2 of the Constitution is to take care that the laws are faithfully executed, not that the vice president is executed. Then he noted that the former vice president, by the way, has joined other former Trump administration officials. He's not going to vote for Trump. Pence came out and said that last week, denouncing him. And he was the first vice president in more than two centuries not to support the president that he served in a general election, Raskin reported, aiming that at J.D. Vance. And by the way, J.D., do you understand why there was a sudden job opening for our running mate on the GOP ticket? They tried to kill your predecessor. They tried to kill him because he would not follow Trump's plan to destroy and nullify the votes of millions of Americans. Bruce, shall I let you take that?
Well, as I started out with, this really was a distortion of reality. To say that President Trump had anything to do with Mike Pence possibly being killed is absolutely ridiculous. I have yet to see any proof that anyone ever intended to kill Mike.
So let me jump in here, Bruce, because I know there was a gallows erected. It was like a miniature, but you could see it. We've never determined to this day who put that there. No one was standing around saying, hang Mike Pence. No one that we know of, and we know that there were so many things in plants in that crowd. We know that the bomb plant at the DNC headquarters that was found on that day or earlier was a hoax, a scam. So we have only to believe that this gallows, if you've ever been to a Trump rally, people don't behave this way. They don't behave this way. They were mad at Mike Pence, but they weren't. Actually, Bruce, that's before Mike did anything. So why in the world would they have a gallows there saying, hang Mike Pence? That's ridiculous.
Well, that's why it makes no sense. And, you know, to go back to our premise, though, of what's being done to these January 6th people, let's take the praying grandma again. The judge rants at her. All she did was walk through. But you know why he's ranting at her? Because she had the audacity, after she was arrested, to speak out against the justice system. What she did was she was going around the country and giving talks, talking about how unjustly she was being treated.
And
she was also on the, and not just herself, others. Yeah. And she was raising money through the internet to help pay for her legal costs. You're allowed to do that. And yet, in her case, the judge really went off on her. How dare she criticize the Justice Department or the justice system? Well, you know what? I don't care if you're under indictment or not, or if you're under conviction or not. You have a First Amendment right to say what you want about the justice system. You also have a right to raise money online if you are not doing it for a criminal purpose. And her purpose was to raise money to cover her defense. You know, Kamala Harris didn't have any problem raising money online to pay the bail of people who were rioting in Minnesota.
George Floyd riots.
And you know, you think about the irony of Biden saying, you know, there were good people out there in the Hamas rally today.
Oh, know what you're going. Because
when you think about what happened in Charlottesville and the lie that he has perpetuated, that Trump said the people that were skinheads were good people that were out there in Charlottesville this back several years ago, and that's why Joe Biden ran for president. A total fiction, he just enamors himself as to who he is and what he's about. The last thing he's about is, as he said, preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution of the United States.
Well, so this is the update on, thank you, honey, the update on J6. And let me give you these places again where you can go. Go to 1afilmfest.com, 1afilmfest.com if you'd like to go, or stream, live stream. I hope you will. September 13th through the 15th. It's coming up pretty quickly. It's before the election comes. And also, if you'd like one of these books, the Gulag Chronicles, there's two versions right now. And one is when they were arrested, and then the second has been their experience inside the jail. These are excellent books. It's lettersfromprison.us, lettersfromprison.us. And remember, the money goes to help the prisoners, or some that are out now, but help the families, because the families are so poor now. It's really sad. So that's how you can get involved, and hopefully we'll talk about this again before the election. I want to thank you and thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan is our newest sponsor. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. You know you can listen to the show on any podcast platform. You can call us at 662-821-2040. I want to remind you again to sign up for Twitter. You can go on any social media platform and find stuff from us, but Twitter is the best. It's at Sandy Rios. Tweet, that's my what they call a handle, and I suggest that you do that. Thank you so much, all of you, for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.